Do you recall the first time you held a newborn baby in your arms? Whether your child or child of someone you love, just an acquaintance. Does anything adequately compare with that awe-inspiring wonder? There is really nothing quite like it. Such a feeling, it evokes this sense of joy and hopefulness that seems to transcend, at least for a time, all other burden or calamity, whether in one's personal life or even in the larger cultural issues that we share. And in that moment, one can easily believe that indeed all will be right with the world. The extraordinary miracle of new life nestled against your own chest. One of our grandmas, when she first held her newest granddaughter, she gathered that little girl up close, and she just breathed in real deep. And they said, "Grandma, what are you doing?" And she said, "I'm breathing in baby." Other firsts can be compelling memories as well. Seeing those first steps when you're crouched down and your arms are open. Hearing first words. The first time you pedaled a bike under your own wobbly control, or perhaps even more memorable is the first time that you let go of the seat and watched it happen. First job, first real love. These leave indelible marks upon us. And sometimes the moments are entirely personal. But other times, we share them as an entire nation. As when one small step for man announced the giant leap of mankind for the first time on the moon. And I dare say every television set in America was tuned that day to that one moment of national hopefulness. The first. You may have noticed a pattern of firsts in our scripture readings for tonight. Some firsts are not unexpected surprise, but are entirely intentional. That which is deliberately first is often of substantial or even highest importance in our lives. There was a best-selling self-help book from back in the 90s by the title First Things First. An influential journal of theology and public life is called simply First Things. Both of those projects make clear the importance of such priority. The people of God, as recorded by the prophet Nehemiah, they committed themselves to bring their first fruits unto the Lord as directed by God. And notice how expansive that commitment was. These are first fruits of crops, orchards, herd, flocks, even firstborn sons were consecrated in service to the Lord. And centuries later, Jesus clarified why such ordering of life is so important when he taught, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What we attend to first in our lives demonstrates its place in life its significance, where your heart is. And then St. Paul makes abundantly clear in his letter to the Colossians the significance of the one whose birth we celebrate tonight. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the very firstborn over all creation, Paul writes. Yes, he was humanly born at a particular time and place in the world. And yet, Paul continues, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And moreover, he is the firstborn among the dead. Jesus came, bearing this eternal image of God. And he came for the ultimate purpose of reconciling this broken world and our own broken lives to him. In other words, he came first and foremost of highest importance for you, to save you, to restore you into the loving relationship that God intended from before the creation of the world. And Jesus accomplishes that purpose, according to St. Paul, by making peace through his blood shed on a cross. If we are to keep first things first on this holy night, and in all of our lives, we need always recall why this birth was so important. We need to understand who this Jesus really is. The one, the only one come from God, and we need to receive by faith what is truly happening for us. As this beautiful scene unfolds again tonight. For tonight, we celebrate the first Noel. Not just the song, of course. No. We celebrate the incredible, miraculous, joy-filled news that it declares. Well, curiously, the song itself is a kind of first. Likely the oldest of the enduringly popular Christmas songs, dating all the way back to the time of the Middle Ages. It is also perhaps the first melody to be established among the near permanent library of song that we share with one another every Christmas. And the word Noel, in its earliest use, came to mean a joyful shout of exclamation at the birth of Christ. So indeed, we celebrate tonight the very first proclamation of Jesus' birth. When a dark stillness of an ordinary night was suddenly filled with the glory of God, an angelic voice announced to these terrified shepherds, "Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And then one heavenly voice became a multitude proclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest." That was a first and only. And no sooner was the stillness returned, when those who heard this first Noel hustled themselves to become the first human witnesses to the miracle of Emmanuel. In that feed trough was literally God with us. A child in his first day, uttering his first earthly cry. God in newborn flesh, held for the first time in the loving arms of mother and father. And there, in the midst of that scene, A scene never before seen by humankind and one never to be seen again. There, in the middle of all that, stood these weather-hardened, common, working men. But I still imagine each one of them, coming up to Mary and the child and gently taking that baby and holding them in their own arms, cradling the very head of God in those hard, calloused, working hands, beholding a baby for whom the angels had just Noel'd all over the countryside. Could anything compare to that awesome experience? Imagine the sense of joy and hopefulness that transcended any burden that those men may have been facing in that moment. Imagine how convinced they must have been that everything will be all right in the world. Think of it. Think of this extraordinary miracle. Almighty God, in the form of new life nestled against your own chest. And what did they do next? These men who are more accustomed to a solitary, isolated life. Did they return to the hills? No. No, you see, this little band of unsuspecting witnesses to the great good news, the glory of God, these guys most certainly put first things first. Immediately, Scripture tells us they went out into the village streets doing their own version of Noeling. Their own joyful shout of exclamation at the birth of Christ. They proclaimed none other than Messiah, the one promised for centuries, had been born right there in Bethlehem. Now, picture in your mind the reaction of all these townspeople. And on top of that, the scores of visitors that were in Bethlehem for the same reason as Joseph, for the census. The town was packed. Imagine all the people whose night was interrupted by this spontaneous, loud, sort of joyfully chaotic Noel. Luke reports that they all wondered. Wondered indeed. That kind of wonder, I believe, is a close cousin to the feelings that you gain from those other firsts. First babe in arms, first bike ride, first love, first man on the moon. It's that kind of joy-filled, hold your breath, can't quite take it all in amazement. Noel, Christ, is born. But by now, in history, by now, we've said it, sung it, celebrated it thousands of times. I mean, around the world, it's been a part of history for 2 millennia. And even right here at Trinity for over 100 years, we know what the angels said. We know what the shepherds did. We know how the town reacted. We know. And it can become routine. We've been singing that carol since the Middle Ages. But on this night, in this place, we who preach, who proclaim, who sing, who play, we pray that for you tonight is different. We pray that the retelling of our story, the songs of announcement and celebration, the fanfares of trumpets, the return to Holy Scripture to be reminded again, who is this child that was born, that taken all together, this will enable you to keep first things first. In your celebration with us here, and as the hours and days go on, we pray the enduring word of God's promise will strengthen your faith, stir your heart toward your own exclamation that Christ is born, born to you, to those you love, and to every corner of the world. Doesn't the last piece they sang so beautifully illustrate that first Noel centuries ago? A single voice of announcement followed by a heart-lifting chorus of praise to the glory of God, declaring God's story of amazing love. And so, I'd like to invite you to join us in that chorus once more. Let us, tonight, right now, let us be the shepherds, as if hearing it for the very first time, casting that news aloud, full-voiced for all to hear. Noel, come and see what God has done. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Amen.